Technorama episode 450, Supermoon Eclipse.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
The supermoon is coming! The supermoon is coming! Do you have a bunker I can hide in?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening or watching, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi. We are here to screw with your mind again. With me is Craig Stepp, the chief screwer.
I have my Phillips head in hand. I'm ready.
Torx, man.
Give me the Torx 10.
It just sounds nerdier. Wasn't Torx a character in some movie? All right, I'm going to have to go back and watch.
If it wasn't, it should have been. Yeah. Go back and watch what? You said some movie.
I have been watching lots of very old movies. I found that Netflix has a cornucopia of classics from George Melia's Journey to the Moon or Voyage to the Moon.
Yeah.
This weekend I watched The Day the Earth Stood Still, the 1951 version. Just lots of good stuff. And then I just recently tripped across the 1978 Battlestar Galactica series. Seeing how that holds up.
Actually, it shouldn't be too bad. I mean, because there wasn't anything topical like, you know,
the special effects are a little mediocre. Anyway, we'll talk more about that when we get into the show, because we have a plethora of topics, and one of them actually connects with something we have tonight.
I was ready for you to say cornucopia again.
Plethora? Cornucopia? Plethora.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here, have some fun. We'll be right back. Coming up in this episode, we have the moon, Pluto, and Uranus.
I just threw that in there so you can say Uranus.
Hey, this is Crazy Joe. And this is Dave, hosts of Megapodzilla, the podcast equivalent to a 100-foot radioactive robot lizard, but with horn-rimmed glasses and a pocket protector. That's nerdy. We're on the rampage, laying waste to the geek landscape.
We'll talk movies, TV, comics, toys, video games.
And sometimes we talk turkey.
Don't you mean chicken?
That's right. So check us out at Megapodzilla.com.
We're also available on iTunes and the Zune Marketplace.
Aw, yeah.
Hi, I'm Bill Farmer. You may know me as the voice behind Goofy, Pluto, and many other characters.
Howdy there. This is your old pal, Mr. Haney, and you're listening to Technorama with, who are they with? Chuck and Craig.
I think that promo we just played had every sound effect from GarageBand you could throw together.
I recognized a few of them.
I like all of them.
Yeah.
They are there.
There was one at the very end. It was the monster that Lucky the reindeer was being chased after. I was like, I recognize that sound.
That first shot that comes in, you bam, 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 reminds me of the Scott Sigler rookie stories, the Galactica Football League, where you're about to listen to the best damn sports show ever.
I think everybody's used that because
there's been
a few times the TV's on. No, I mean like the TV's running and I hear a commercial or something. I'm like, that's like from GarageBand or it's an Apple loop.
Yeah.
You know, some sort.
There has to be an expansion pack or something. Let's get into the letters.
Yay!
Letters. Oh, those letters. We're changing the song. Hey, what? They're not singing the right lyrics.
Reach for it and pull out another song. And this is when I'm going to put a change of address in the mailbox.
I want this as a ringtone.
You can do it.
All right. Our question last week was, I had to wait for the music to stop. Yes. What tech gave you the most problems? We got a cornucopia of answers on Facebook. Twitter, hey, not so much.
Yeah, well, this first guy, yes, I agree with him wholeheartedly. This is the one thing that's probably given me the most grief over time.
Can I read this with emotion?
Absolutely.
Since it was, you know, frustration and problems. Justin, and this is in no way making an impersonation of Justin. If you know our wonderful listener, Justin, he is very calm, laid back, but I'm going to read this in a little more aggressive tone. Printers always seem to give me a headache. Be they office supported, home office, etc. They just always seem to be a failure point between digital data and making them real world accessible. I agree.
Yeah. PC load letter. What does that mean?
When you get to the larger scale office ones where they're multi-fax, phone, printer, copier, stapler, those really get annoying too. And then he finally closes with, don't get me started on ink.
I know. Oh, man. Printers have always been a pain in the butt. I mean, even today.
Yeah. Printers, plotters, ink, electrostatic, you name it, they're no fun.
Blood.
Yeah, they've claimed some of my blood in the past.
Yeah.
Norbert writes in, iPhone battery expanding. Apparently that's been a frequent
iPhone
problem
5.
For him. iPhone 5. I never had a problem with my iPhone 5 battery expanding. The battery life was decreasing, but...
You mean expanding as in...
physically, it would blow out the case. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sean writes in, bad caps. And at first I thought he meant, like, people writing in all caps. No. Yeah. This is caps as in capacitors. Remember the motherboards from HP that were reclaimed? This was, like, 15 years ago or so, or maybe 10, that all the capacitors that did the noise reduction and whatnot, they started leaking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There is a site called badcaps.net that you can go and read more about bad capacitors and other electronic components that have given people grief over the years.
Sounds like something related to Norbert there.
No, batteries and capacitors are two different electronic components, Craig.
No, I meant expanding and contracting as they should not be.
Yeah, long story short is people are using sort of inferior products, shall we say, in their capacitors for the electrolytes and things, and it just doesn't work.
Hey, when you're trying to cut costs and beat a competitor, you know, who knows what they'll do.
Cheaper ingredients. That's right. Brad writes in, he says, alarm system interface. Yeah, there's a lot of interfaces, and this made me think of the H2 interface, too. He says, looks like an old phone pad with some minimal intuitive design.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen, like, a home alarm system?
Yes, I think I have one.
Arm it, disarm it, away, vacation. I don't know. They really are pathetic.
You know, and maybe there's something out there that does this, but it blew my mind. Why don't we have a key fob for, like, the house? And you just walk up and hit the button.
I thought there were RFID locks that you could put on your keychain and things. Or your phone. Your phone.
Well, I mean, no. What I'm saying is, like, okay, so you have a car alarm.
Right.
Home alarm. So you walk up to the front door, not necessarily to unlock the door, but to disarm the alarm. Why can't you just, bleep, bleep, you know, turn off your house?
Turn off your house.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. So, I mean, why isn't there something like that? I haven't seen it. There probably is or should be.
Love the idea. Start a Kickstarter project.
Okay, we'll edit this out of the show so I can do that.
Ben says, it isn't the higher tech I struggle with so much. Though your talk about typing reminded me of when I tried to learn the Dvorak keyboard layout. I struggle more with mechanical things. I really struggle with things like changing out the mower and snowblower attachments on my tractor. I could see that. I mean, that's technology. That's what we ask. What tech frustrates you?
Who owns a snowblower?
I used to.
Sam, probably know a couple people.
Yes, we have many listeners in the northern climates for which they are entitled to their snowblowers. My sister wrote in. She said, remote controls with sticky buttons or a mouse with a delay. Oh, mice with a delay. Or latency when you're playing an online game.
Yes. You know what? A mouse with a delay, since I was, when I was coding, especially when I'm doing a lot of web stuff, if I, my mouse was a little bit behind, I felt that I was trying to grip it more. You know, it's trying to
coerce it into the right speed.
Yeah. Dang you, mouse. Yeah. No, I mean, I would just intuitively, I would try and grab it a little tighter because it's not doing what I want it to do. So I think at one point I started to get carpal tunnel, you know, because of that. But you know what? I switched to a pen tablet instead of a mouse for a while.
Yeah.
And it made all the difference.
Hmm.
But now Bluetooth mice are pretty quick. I don't, I really don't have much issue.
No.
With it. They're pretty,
I think they're predictable. Responsive. They know where you want to go. So they take the, they counteract the latency.
Yeah. Pretty soon I can just look at the screen. Yeah. Just look at the screen.
Can you imagine what would happen if the mouse tracked your eyes? It would be just flittering all over the place.
Oh man, my porn would be, wait a minute.
Slow down. You know where your eyes go. I think we struck a nerve with this question because we got a lot of responses. Mark writes back, he says, reading analog clocks. Everything else is pretty straightforward, but remembering which arm, not hand, arm, which arm meant what always screwed me up.
Stare at it for a minute, the one that's going faster.
I have heard that. You know, when digital clocks started coming out and kids started reading digital clocks, they had no problem with that. But for some reason, they started having problems with analog clocks. Now, Mark, we know Mark, the encaffeinated one. He predates digital clocks by a fair amount. So
a year or two.
Well, by the popularity of them. I mean, they weren't something you had on your desk side table. I'm sure they had, you know, the mechanical ones with the flip over numbers somewhere. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have a problem with analog clocks?
You know what? I was going to say I'm with Mark on this a little bit.
Really?
Well, I don't know. I wanted digital clocks for such a long time. I got this, my dad gave me this old gold. This is when I was a kid, you know, gave me a gold digital watch. And I just been fascinated with digital watches throughout time. So maybe that's kind of eschewed me from reading analog clocks now. But yeah, I have a little more trouble
when
reading an analog clock.
Pull the battery out, the numbers go away. It's cool.
Yeah. And you had to hit the button and it was like red.
You're talking about an LED. Yeah, not an LCD.
Yeah, it was the red LEDs, and I ended up taking it apart trying to see how it worked. But
bad idea.
I did get it back together.
Okay.
I don't own it anymore.
I took my Casio apart many, many times. Finally, Becky, I saved this one for the last. It wasn't in the right order. But Becky writes in, any and all techno gadgets. I think that pretty much covers it. Yeah. I'll share my For Dummies books, probably outdated already.
Mm-hmm.
She puts messages to me on Facebook all the time about some of the, what are the buttons to start the microwave again?
Yeah.
Push popcorn. It does everything.
Yeah, it does everything.
That are the letters. Those are the letters. That. Well, that there the goes letters. My grammar. That wraps up our feedback from this week. Join us at the end of the show for another question, or we will Facebook it and tweet it to you also, which brings us to my favorite part.
All right.
Where I have to click twice. There we go. And we get some history.
Stupid
Listen
mouse.
And learn, dear listener, because it was on this day in history for September 30th. What? Who? What? It says September 1st on here.
What?
Well, I don't know. Fix that for me, will you, while I'm reading the first line or two. The 273rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 92 days remaining in 2015. I work so hard on this every weekend to try and get these right.
Whatever.
It was on this date in 1860 that Britain's first tram service begins in Birkenhead, Merseyside.
And 133 years ago today, Thomas Edison's first commercial hydroelectric power plant, later known as the Appleton Edison Light Company, begins operation on the Fox River in Appleton, Wisconsin, United States. I know why you stuck
there. I've been there. That's that powered the Hearthstone, which is now a museum. Right on Richmond Street before it turns into Memorial Street. Anyway, sidetracked there. Powered by a snowblower. It's powered by a snowblower now. Yeah. The water just goes through the auger. Yeah. On this very date, 100 years ago today, a Serbian army private becomes the first soldier in history to shoot down an enemy aircraft with ground-to-air fire.
Hmm. And the Hoover Dam, astride the border between U.S. states of Arizona and Nevada, is dedicated 80 years ago today.
And they probably played music much like this.
That's right.
76 years ago today, NBC broadcast the first televised American football game between the Waynesburg Yellow Jackets and the Fordham Rams. Fordham won the game 34-7. It was a blowout.
That'll leave a mark. And the World Series featuring the New York Yankees and the Brooklyn Dodgers is televised for the first time in this date in 1947.
The U.S. Navy submarine USS Nautilus is commissioned as the world's first nuclear reactor-powered vessel 61 years ago today.
And September 30th, 1965, Trapped in the Sky, the pilot episode of Gary Anderson's beloved Thunderbirds airs on ITV for the first time.
Thunderbirds are go! Years ago today, the Boeing 747, see how that worked out?
Mm-hmm.
Is rolled out and shown to the public for the first time in the Boeing Everett factory.
And that same date in 1965, the Hughes, later McDonnell Douglas, now Boeing, wow, that's a lot of name changes.
Yeah.
AH-64 Apache takes its first flight.
Because of U.S. budget cuts and dwindling power reserves, the Apollo program's ALSEP, or LSEP, experiment packages left on the moon are shut down 38 years ago today.
And also in 1980, Ethernet specifications are published by Xerox, working with Intel and Digital Equipment Corporation.
And seven-layer salads were never the same.
That's right.
It was 33 years ago today that the cyanide-laced Tylenol kills 6 people in the Chicago area. 7 people are killed in all. Wow, doesn't that seem recent to you and me? But
yes, it does.
Ethernet is only that. 2 years older than the cyanide scares. So all those foil packs and triple things that you got to open and flip and poke and things to get your darn aspirin out. Yeah, that's how long ago that was.
Yeah.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to astronomer and mathematician Michael Maestlin, born on this date in 1550.
And also born in this date in 1832, Anne Jarvis, the activist and co-founder of Mother's Day.
The founder of the Wrigley Company, William Wrigley Jr., was born today in 1861.
And also born on September 30th, 1882, Hans Geiger, the German physicist and academic.
You said Geiger. You got it right. Geiger, well, that's where Geiger counters come from.
My grandmother's maiden name was Geiger.
Crutch.
Well, some people said Giger, but right. I don't think that's right. Yeah.
Chances are today is Johnny Mathis's 80th birthday.
And finally, British astronomer Richard Edwin Hills is 40 or 70. Why did I say 40?
We're not sure of anything anymore.
70. He's 70.
And we celebrated Batman Day this past weekend on the wrong day, too. But
and
that's
now,
okay.
Supermoon.
That's okay, because we don't understand when Jesus was born either.
No.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for September 30th, 2015. March it out with the band. Bye. See ya. Goodbye.
Later.
All right. That means...
No, we're not tipping you guys.
Again. I'll give you a tip. Go outside and watch the Supermoon.
Supermoon.
Good news, everyone!
So I figured, you know, it finally dawned on me that we have all these good news clips from Farnsworth and Qbert and everybody else.
Yes.
I'm thinking he was preaching the gospel now.
It's got the good news, people.
I was listening to the LifeSpring audio family Bible the other day, and he mentioned the good news in there, and I went, good news, everyone. And it finally dawned on me.
You were sitting in a waiting room and you stand up and say, good news, everybody.
All right. The moon is shrinking. I don't understand this title because it's moon shrinking, Earth at fault.
Now, don't start pointing fingers.
There's nothing in here that says there's anything about the Earth at fault. Nothing in this article.
Well, yeah, I did find that kind of weird, too.
The moon is shrinking and there's nothing you can do about it. I always say that when I see that in the movie theater. Coming to a theater near you and there's nothing you can do about it.
The moon is shrinking and there's nothing you can do about it.
Researchers led by the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum, Thomas R. Waters, first reported the shrinkage.
He was in a cold pool.
Must have been cold waters. Which has taken place over a billion years as the moon's core cooled and contracted in 2010. Just cooled and contracted last 5 years ago, I guess.
This happened.
Waters' team surveying about 10% of the lunar surface identified 14 cracks and ridges in the moon's surface. 5 years later, I'm just reading it, folks. Scientists have identified more than 3,200. And that's metric and English. According to the New York Times, if the moon were shrinking uniformly, the ridges formed when the moon's surface cracks and on one side of the fracture slips over the other would be distributed randomly around the face of the heavenly body. However, Waters' team found a preponderance of north-south ridges in the equatorial and mid-latitude regions and east-west ridges near the poles. The moon is shrinking. I know the moon is getting further away. It's something like an inch every 100 years or something.
Yeah, it's like a large scale, but yeah, it's something like that.
But yet you go outside now and it's a super moon.
Well, see, you look at this story, you know, a crack on the moon is like semi-sorted news, but if it was a crack on Uranus.
And there we go again. Now, as the moon cooled, you'd think that it would be kind of like when you take brownies out of the oven, they look all nice and shiny on top, and then they cool, and they kind of get that cracked, mottled, crumply surface.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what you would expect to see, but that's not what they're seeing, is what I'm reading.
Well, I can imagine it would be cooling over time. There's no atmosphere on it to keep any heat, or so the heat's got to go away.
Well, the heat is coming from the sun. The sun heats it up. Right, it's like 270 degrees C during the day because there's no atmosphere or anything to keep it out.
Well, they're talking about the core.
Is the core completely cooled down? That's what I want to know.
It's where the sun doesn't shine.
One of those shows again, kids. One of those shows.
No, but I mean, it's got to dissipate, I guess, over time. I mean, the moon doesn't rotate.
Yes, it does.
Does not.
It rotates once per revolution.
Or it rotates with us. We see the same face of it all the time.
That doesn't mean it doesn't rotate. Craig.
Wait, I mean like the Earth spins. Okay.
So the moon core spins also.
Okay.
The sun is hitting different parts at different times. Its rotation is exactly the same as its revolution. Yes. 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 Stop. Let's go on to the birthday calendar.
No. Disagree.
Look it up. Look it up.
I'm going to look it up.
Just because the same face faces us doesn't mean it's not rotating.
Well, how does it rotate if you were looking at the same face all the time?
If it wasn't rotating, it doesn't. If it wasn't rotating, the sun would be hitting the same side all the time.
Correct.
It doesn't. The dark side of the moon is not always dark.
No, the moon rotates around the Earth. It doesn't rotate around its own axis.
It revolves around the Earth.
Correct.
It rotates on an axis the same period as its revolution. Oh, how we want to hear from the listeners on this one.
Okay.
We just spent like 3 minutes on a useless topic.
That's how we get feedback.
Yeah. Someone is wrong here.
Yes, and it's not me.
Oh, birthday calendar. It's December 1st and the calendar. No, October 1st. Sorry, I was decimal. I went the wrong binary system here. October 1st, which happens to be 101, is Stephen Wesche's birthday from St. Louis, Missouri. Adam Rumke is on 102, and Joe Doe, which is John Durholt, is on October 6th. Happy birthday to all of you. I even looked through the Facebook calendar, and I didn't see any listeners on my friends list that I could snag and put in here. We are getting a little thin, so if you want to be on the Technorama birthday calendar, we would love to hear from you. Go over to chuckdat.com/wiki. Don't you hate it when people do that?
What's that?
Say backslash instead of slash.
Oh, well.
I heard one on the radio going, ow, 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 oh, fade. Yeah. All right, we will be right back. It's chuckchat.com/wiki. Go put your name out there.
So I kept finally got off the flipping computer, and I checked out these things called podcasts.
Don't be jealous that I've been chatting online with babes all day.
Music podcasts, comedy podcasts, tech podcasts. Then I found this one called Technorama. Those guys are retarded. They start talking about stuff like weird tech stuff, science things, and sci-fi stuff. Worst podcast ever. Gosh. I wouldn't even tell Uncle Rico to go to chuckchat.com and listen to Technorama. Tina, come and eat your dinner, you fat lard.
Technorama. Feed your inner geek every week.
And there's another GarageBand clip for you.
Yeah, there's no shortage of those.
But this little electromagnetic thing that we play this, that's not GarageBand. Okay.
Just no, it's not.
As an FYI, just letting you know that it's time for Hacks and Strange Stories.
Yay, whoopee.
Starbucks a girl? That's what I was thinking. I was thinking of Battlestar Galactica, watching the old one. Oh, all right, yeah, Craig. This is your story.
Accident forgiveness.
Okay. Sorry, ads in the browser really drive me nuts now.
I need to use ad blocker.
I thought I had ad blocker. You can read that.
So anyway, this is the closest you're going to get to a Star Trek game for a while.
Did you watch the whole video?
I did.
That thing was freaking awesome.
Yeah. So let me describe to everybody what was freaking awesome.
Okay, go ahead.
So the article states, the days of unique Star Trek simulators based on the next generation Deep Space Nine and Voyager are long over. Excuse me. But a superb model of the USS Enterprise from TNG made by Jason B and Unreal Engine 4 shows how Star Trek game like that would work today. Jason B remade not just the main bridge of the ship, but a couple more decks as well as a docking bay, which is actually, it is pretty big. It is pretty big. And made an Oculus Rift ready virtual tour of the whole thing. The new crew, no, I'm sorry, there's no crew inside. So let's just pretend it's one of those episodes where the entire crew went missing.
I noticed maybe, that. I was like, there's nobody around. Somebody's talking on the hailing system.
And maybe they're all on, you know, on a way team.
Risa?
Yeah. Risa, that's right. So anyway, you go watch the video. It starts off with a shuttle craft. Actually, that was funny. There's nobody on the ship. Yet they're giving commands to you when you're in the shuttlecraft.
Right. You hear there's somebody talking on the shuttlecraft.
Yeah.
Shuttle bay crew, you have permission to lift shuttle 12 off the landing pad.
What?
Yeah. So it brings you into the landing or the docking bay, and tractor beam brings you in and sets you down. And in a 3D first person perspective, like a game time thing, you walk out and you see a nice, awesome picture of a runabout shuttle.
Yeah.
And then they go around, he closes the bay doors, and then he starts walking around the bridge, or the ship rather, up to the bridge, and it's like amazing.
It puts some things in perspective, because I really, in the show, you never know how they get from one place to the next. Like, okay, the conference room is through that door, but what's through the other side of the conference room? There are stairs. There are stairs on the Enterprise. I did not know that.
Yeah. So this guy, this isn't the article that, originally read about it, but this guy used all of the materials he could find to make this correct. You know, this goes here, that kind of thing, to make sure it was factually correct. Some things that they didn't specify, he did take a little bit of a, liberty with. Mike, when you come in from the main conference room where they all usually had their meetings off to the side.
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, it came around and said, head. I went, what? Oh, it's a bathroom. That's awesome. But what was funny?
And we're back to the toilet humor.
Wait a minute. Did you notice what was beside the toilets?
The three buttons. Or the clamshell. The little shells. Yeah, little shells. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, I remember it was the movie Demolition Man. That was the funny thing where Sylvester Stallone's character was asking, what are the three shells in the toilet?
That was a nice tip of the hat.
Yeah, so that was funny. But yeah, it's really cool. That it's very detailed. I would love this to go further.
Oh, now, absolutely.
He did say he was interested in maybe doing some, not a Kickstarter, but something like that to raise some money. If he could, he would not only do the Enterprise, but do Deep Space Nine as well.
I want to know if they put you could see as he was walking around the corridors, all the little red tags on the panels, if he put writing on the tags.
Yeah, I'd be interested in seeing that.
Is right.
Yeah. So anyway, they're very cool. I would recommend going and watching. As a matter of fact, you know what else is cool? I don't know if you saw this, Chuck. It's a side note. Facebook's 360-degree Star Wars video.
I didn't see that.
Okay, so it's on the planet Jakku. It's that scene, it's in the trailer where it has the Star Destroyer stuck in the sand and you see the speeder going across the sand.
Yeah.
One of the first trailers. Well, that's actually what you're doing. You're actually on the speeder and you're riding by. And if you do this on your phone, you can move your phone spatially wherever you're at and can look around. It's a 3D video.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. So I'd watch this on the computer and moved around with my mouse. I thought, oh, this is kind of neat. Well, then I showed Harrison later on my phone, and I noticed I was looking at a weird part of the video, and I picked up my phone and went, holy crap, it's actually using my phone to pick, as a viewer. So I moved it around and get to look around. It was pretty cool.
That does sound cool.
There's a few Easter eggs in there too, if you go around for them. But yeah, it was really neat. So I'd recommend go check that out.
There are some Easter eggs in another story we've got coming up too, but let's finish up the Hex and Strange stories. For the first time, a paraplegic has walked without a robotic suit. Very interesting here. A paraplegic has walked without robotics using his own brainwaves, thanks to the research done at Southern California's UC Irvine. Yes.
By the way, at first when I read this, I had to read it a couple times, the title, because I thought it sounded like an onion title.
It does kind of sound like an onion thing.
Yeah, I was like, oh, guy used to walk without a robot suit. I get it. And I went, oh, wait, it's actually. I'm sorry.
Scientists used a computer to link 28-year-old Adam Fritz's brain to his legs over a Bluetooth connection. Hey, maybe he could listen to Technorama with Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Bypassing the severed region of his spinal cord. An EEG then picked up the signals from his brain, which were relayed to the, quote, brain controller interface, or BCI, computer to electrodes on his knee, triggering walking movements. Though Fritz was supported and only walked haltingly for 12 feet, the research is being heralded as a milestone. So far, paralyzed patients have only been able to walk using suits like that from ExoBionics. This is pretty cool. This holds some promise that, we could hook up some interface and wires and muscle controls and whatnot, and actually make this happen for more people.
Imagine as long as you didn't have extensive nerve damage or anything like that, you could totally bypass.
Well, that's what they're doing. They're bypassing damaged nerves.
No, I was saying as long as you didn't have extensive nerve damage elsewhere. I mean,
yeah.
I could totally see this working well.
He's got pretty sizable legs for a paraplegic. That raises some suspicions for me. All right.
What? Suspicions?
Yeah.
You think it's fake?
What? Something on the internet that's fake? Oh, well, no, never.
Maybe it just recently happened to him. I don't know.
Maybe. Could be.
So you didn't have any...
Oh, it could have been the picture I was looking at, too. I'm looking at it on the monitor that Donna just put up, and his legs look much skinnier. So it could have been the aspect ratio of the image.
Yeah, I don't think it looks... I don't think it looks hokey.
People stretch images out that way. Ugh, drives me nuts. Yeah. That's another thing that gets on my nerves. My brother was on the news last Wednesday.
Oh, great. The Pope was in New York.
He's on the run again.
My commander police brother, my little brother.
Okay.
Very proud of him. Well, the Pope was in New York. They did a canonization. They made a saint out of Junipero Serra, who was a priest back in the early, he converted some natives to Catholicism, whether mm-hmm. they liked it or not, kind of thing. So there's some debate around his methods. But so the Pope is on the East Coast in New York or Washington or wherever he was, and my brother's on the West Coast in Carmel. So he was on the news telling about how they're prepared and getting ready, and then he sent a thing back the next day with, it wasn't a police report, but it was more like a family report of what he did and what he said, and that was kind of cool. But, of course, on the TV, they took a 4x3 image and stretched it into the 16x9 for their website, so he looked kind of fat and wide when he's really not.
So you got to see the Pope?
No, he was in Carmel. The Pope was in New York.
Oh.
Anywho, shout out to the chat room time. We are streaming once again. I think I saw we had a handful of people. I'm not sure how they're getting there because I went through our website on the Watch Now button and I get nothing. There's nobody there and it says, you're not streaming. So I don't know how these people are getting in. Donna sees a number of people watching and chatting and I want to know how they get there. Apparently, I can't tell you on this show how to get to our live stream, but people are finding us somehow.
Maybe they subscribe to our channel.
Maybe it's through Google Plus. Does the channel say, hey, there's a live show going on right now?
Well, when you scheduled it, yes.
I thought we had a universal link like Technorama Podcast Live, but where I went and it didn't work.
It says the stream is offline.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing, but we've got viewers.
Yeah.
Some of our regular viewers, right? There's some recognizable names in the chat room. Tell us, dear viewer, how do you get there? This is pretty sad when the host doesn't know how to get
there. Well, I subscribe to our channel and I do see it when you go set it up.
Yeah.
You know, I see it appear in my subscriptions.
Hopefully it's not a new URL every week. That would consider.
No. There should be like technogramapodcast.com or YouTube/technogramapodcast/live and it should take you there.
Okay, Donna saying don't mess with the monitor. I will figure it out and we'll let you know, but we want to see you there. We're back to streaming. We are working on getting Craig's stuff live eventually so he can talk to us, and we have at least 4 more stories to go through. So let's continue with our Remember When stuff. Oh, yeah. Floppy disks? Floppy disks, are they still around?
They are still around.
They are. And why, may I ask? What will they do for us?
I don't know.
Because I don't have a floppy drive on any of my machines.
Actually, I have a machine with one, but I don't think it's ever been used in a long time.
Then allow me to read and learn more as we go, because Craig threw this in at the last minute. When was the last time you used a floppy disk? Well, still used as a save icon in modern, they're right, packages like Microsoft Office Suite, it's unusual to see one out in the wild. Given that a typical floppy disk offers a minuscule 1.44 megabytes of space, not even enough to house 3 minutes of pop song in MP3 format, that's sad. It really is when you put it in that scale. Mm-hmm. There's seemingly no reason for these disks to stay in circulation. But while the average user might not have any cause to use a floppy disk, there are those out there who can't settle for anything else. They're in dire need of the disks, which most manufacturers have stopped producing. The floppy disk might seem like something better left in the 1990s. Instead, it's a product that's alive and well in the 21st century. I can think of something, maybe as a boot device.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
Well, a lot of machines can boot off USB now. So.
Let's find out. The Floppy King. Tom Persky is the owner and operator of FloppyDisk.com. Although were it not for his wife, he might not be. Tom received a telephone call in the early 1990s asking if he would like to purchase the domain name, but refused the offer. Incensed that the company of domain squatters wanted $250 for the address, thankfully, the prescient Mrs. Persky wrestled the phone from his hands and agreed to the deal. That's a great visual, isn't it?
Give me that. Give me that. Yeah.
Yes, we'll buy it.
You idiot. Never been there.
This site endures to this day, a fact that Tom looks at with no sense of ego. How could a small company compete with Best Buy, Walmart, Office Depot, and the rest? He asked me. Well, what happens when everybody else gets out? You become the last man standing. This sounds like a cassette tape thing from last week.
It's like, you know what this reminds me of is my dad's mantra for winning the age group in his 5K. It's like, I don't have to run faster than them. I just got to outlast them or, you know, outlive them. I'm sorry.
Outlive them.
Yeah.
Everybody else is dying on the roadside. All right. This is a fairly lengthy article and we're not going to read the whole thing, but I do want to jump to this section titled The Nuclear Floppy. Last year, a broadcast of 60 Minutes surprised many viewers with its discovery that 8-inch floppy disks were still the preferred method of removal storage for computers in the U.S. Air Force nuclear silo. Well, I guess they don't upgrade those things very often.
Oh, okay.
That report indicated that changes were in the pipeline, but the security of the outmoded technology was difficult to replicate with modern materials. Speaking to a representative of the United States Air Force Global Strike Command, I found that this was still the case in some 18 months since that report initially aired. Quote, the floppy disks and associated technologies are tried and true, I was told. As you can imagine, we want to ensure the utmost in reliability and efficacy when operating such a critical weapon system. Therefore, in a system of old, but is still reliable, we are inclined to use it.
Hmm. Huh. Well, you know,
He's got a point.
You know, it's like a security through obscurity kind of thing. Like, yeah, your technology is so old. It's like, well, who the hell can replicate it?
Right. But what do you do when it breaks?
Eight-inch
floppies just aren't exactly lying around. And, oh, was it a tandem drive or was it something else? Oh, we can't find those.
I'm sure they've got replacements.
After the amount of missile silos they shut down, maybe.
Yeah.
They turned them into hotels.
I mean, yeah, well, you would think that they would have had something a little more modern by this point.
One would think. Let's go to the media corner because there's something else to think about.
All right.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the media corner.
The summer of 78, Craig.
This could have totally been me.
How old were you in 1978?
Well, I was born in 69. You do the math.
Okay, so this wasn't you.
Yeah, well, it could have been.
9 years old? Were you making movies at 9 years old?
No, I wasn't talking about making the movie. I said this could have been the subject matter.
Well, that's what this kid is doing.
Right.
He's playing with his Star Wars toys. Because yes, that's what you did in 78 if you had money like I didn't.
Hey, wait a minute. I didn't say I was rolling in it.
You were privileged. I had eight other siblings to compete with.
Well, I'll say this. I had my share of action figures. I didn't really have all the ships. I ended up getting the Millennium Falcon at one point.
I didn't have ship either.
But that was about it. I did end up with an extra ship one time. And I think I talked about this before. I got I saved up some money from winning a contest in a magazine. And I got the Snowspeeder. So I got like $20 out of a magazine contest. And I went and bought the Snowspeeder. That's how I got it.
If you follow the link through our show notes, dear listener, you will come across the article from The Nerdist called The Summer of 78. This is a very cute thing about a boy who's playing with his Star Wars toys in summer of 1978 because A New Hope had come out earlier. And action figures really were something relatively new. The merchandising thing really hadn't taken off all that much until mm-hmm. Star Wars came out. So there's a lot of tie-ins here. And there's even some Easter eggs in the video. Did you spot any of them? Obviously,
maybe.
The Star Trek reference, right?
I got to watch it again. Did I miss something?
Yeah. How could you miss? Dude.
I was too busy reflecting on my summer of 78.
He's pining. All right. Yeah. When they blow up Darth Vader's TIE fighter, he goes,
philosophically.
He goes, oh, rats, I'll have to use my other spaceship. And the boy pulls out two pie plates put together with some tinfoil and whatnot, and it looks just like the Enterprise.
Yeah.
And C-3PO makes a comment like, that is the ugliest ship I've ever seen.
That's right. I do remember that.
But there were some other things like the Super 8 millimeter camera from Super 8. Oh, when he falls down, he wasn't falling down the garbage chute. That was a reference to Lost. So there's some other good ones in there too. If you keep an eye out.
If it's a Lost.
Yes. When they fall down the hatch.
Do you remember Star Wars A New Hope?
Yes.
Okay, there was a whole scene where they went in the garbage chute.
I know, but that's not what they were referring to. Read the article.
All right, fine.
Someone does their homework on this show. You put in a link. I watch the video. I read the article. I report to the listener.
That's right.
And I did not watch A New Hope until... Actually, I saw... I saw Empire first.
What?
Yeah, I saw him out of order.
How did you do that?
Because I told you I was poor, had 9 kids. We didn't go to movies every week.
But the entire world saw Star Wars.
Yeah, and that kind of sucked for me, didn't it? I had no frame of reference when these people were talking about Chewbacca and Han Solo. You know what I was doing in the summer 78? That was about the time that Battlestar Galactica came on TV. That was my first foray into space sci-fi stuff.
Okay.
So and it didn't dawn on me until you put this story in here, and then for some reason I pulled it up on Netflix and went, "That's what I was doing. That's what lit my fuse on stuff."
Well, I was kind of with you a little bit. Now I did watch Star Wars in the theater multiple times because every time I heard somebody was going, I'd bum a ride. Neighbor's kid, whoever's going to see Star Wars, I go, okay, hey, can I go? But
someone's going to the animal shelter to get their dog put down, but it's near the theater, so Craig hitched a ride.
So right after this, you know, of course, I'm dying for more sci-fi. Well, here comes Battlestar Galactica, and it's just like, you know, I was so into it because I wanted more, you know, so that's kind of where that came from.
Speaking of other old movies.
And one thing. Now, I've said this here before too, but I used to subscribe to Pizzazz magazine. It was like a Marvel magazine. It was a Marvel magazine called Pizzazz magazine. And in it, they had a 2-page spread of there's a Starbuck and Apollo, and they're shooting across like, they're standing on like a little bridge thing, and there's a Cylon.
Pew, 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 pew.
One Cylon, right? And he's standing. You know, they're standing almost point blank to each other. I'm like, wow, that looks so cool. But that looks such a ripoff of Darth Vader.
Yeah, there's only so many things you can do in a space show.
Well, the Cylon does look like Vader, has that same shape. I was like, what a ripoff.
Yeah, but Vader didn't have that cool LED eye.
No, but
Watch that video. It's got a very cute ending. You'll enjoy it. Trust us on this one. This time. Yeah. Trust us this time.
I did see it.
Yeah, he just doesn't remember it. He was pining for the days.
Busy guy, man.
We have a top 10 list that's actually 19 things long, and it is the top 19 bad movies that MST3K has riffed on. And I have seen, and I remember almost all of these. There are a few that I must have missed.
That's why I put them in here, is to see, because I know... You're an Uber fan, and I wanted to see if you agreed with the list or remembered some of these.
Oh, heck yes. Monster A Go-Go is number one. Sorry to ruin your top 10 list there, buddy. But yeah, that is right up there with the stinkiest of the stinky.
I've seen, and you know what? I'm not sure if any of these are the ones I remember, but I've seen some that I'm just like, who made this movie?
Yeah. You know, I was at their panel at Dragon Con on Monday. Not to have a backflash reference here, but
Trace, went to their panel?
Yeah, on Monday. You guys had left. It was like 1 o'clock and I had hours before the flight. Right. Okay, so it's kind of cool hanging around Dragon Con on Monday. You get to see some stuff that you never get to see. Anyway, Trace, Frank, and was it Bill? They had a panel up there and they mentioned a lot of these movies. But they also said the reason they can't do any modern movies is because the dialogue's too tight. You go back and watch some of these old movies, and they talk on the movie and leave about 5 seconds before the next person talks.
And they're like doing something, and then they speak.
This is when Joel and the bots or Mike and the bots can stick in their quips. It doesn't work these days. And the background music is way too high in today's movies, too. So they're just too tightly packed to get in any smart remarks. So you won't see them, tearing apart Lord of the Rings or anything, although there are some long drawn out scenes there too that they could have had fun with. These are classics. If you haven't seen them, go back and look. Check out the list of 19 things and see what you recognize if you were a big fan and taped all the VHS and then threw them out 20 years later. What are we going to do with those VHS? We should have sold them to the floppy disk guy.
And by the way, they do have some of those MST3K episodes on Netflix. I'm not sure about those particular ones, but I know there's a, they always have a few rotating in and out.
I got a couple of DVDs from these guys. From, was it Cinematic Titanic? One of those. And a project that Frank had done. I haven't watched them yet. I got to do that soon. Soon. Very soon. Okay, final story in the Geek Library. Let's play that Geek Library music because we don't play that enough. Oh, and this music goes really well with the topic.
Yeah.
And robots. We have to have robots.
Recently, Fire Command.
New Horizons. You know, as I was watching, they said that when they first entered the room. I thought that was like, you know, aye aye, Captain, you know, how they salute, how they did their salutation at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an ending thing. It's a beginning thing. At least it was in the first episode.
Oh,
you know, three command? Silver yeah. Cylons walk in and, you know, there's not Baltar, but the original dude sitting up on his high chair. And they walk into the room and they go, by your command. What? He didn't say anything yet. What was the order?
He was thinking it. Hey, what? Did they ever use that line in the new version, new Battlestar?
Yes. Yes. Some of the skin jobs did, if I recall.
Okay. That's what I was trying to remember.
I remember it, but someone may have to correct
well,
us on that.
I thought
that.
So, but I haven't seen it, obviously, in a while now. But I was trying to remember if they said it. But what was funny was, you know, that was something the Cylons always said. And then, of course, in the new series, it was the humans had so say we all. So right. They all said the same something.
And in the old one, Adama admits he doesn't know where Earth is. But in the new ones, he says he does. It's entrusted to all the Battlestar captains or whatever it was. Anyway, final story is New Horizons has taken a near flyby recently of Pluto. And an artist, what was his name? Looking it up real quick. Artist Carl Kofoed, can't pronounce his name either. He should be on this day in history. He did a combination of images from New Horizons and data they collected to make some concept art. And at first you go, wow, it sure is bright out there in the snow, if that is exactly snow. But it is scientifically accurate that that's how much light would be at noon on Pluto from wherever he was prospectively standing. So very interesting paintings. It almost reminds me, in fact, it very much reminds me, it almost looks like those old sci-fi paintings when they'd show, you know, SpaceX going to Mars, and they would show Mars in this kind of light or shadowing and coloration.
Mm-hmm.
It's really freaky how accurate some of those old original sci-fi artist conceptions are.
You know, this reminds me of like a Omni magazine cover.
Yeah, there's three really beautiful pictures in here, and we'll put those up on the video feed as well for those of you watching, or go click through the show notes. Beautiful stuff, and I'm not moving there anytime soon without a snowblower. There. How's that for cycling
it
all
up? I'm not moving again. I don't want to move again.
Final note from the new from the Geek Library is new Star Trek Continues is out. Episode 5, Divided We Stand, is on YouTube, so go check it out.
I started watching it, and it's pretty cool. It's one of those episodes where a lot of it takes place off ship.
Oh, interesting.
You know, like they went into the gangster planet kind of thing. But no, it's not. Like, it's kind of like that.
I advise you to keep dialing, Oxmix. Okay. We're going to keep dialing.
Got your heater on you.
And we'll play some Fizbin later on. Our question of the week this week is, what movie have you seen the most? Kind of ties back to Craig's lust of Star Wars.
You know what? I would say Star Wars, for me, it'd be Star Wars or Back to the Future.
I was going to say the same too, but our listeners may have other ideas. We want to hear from you, dear listener. 206-222-2428. You can call us on the listener line. We haven't heard from you in a while. We got Jack Jaffe and we got Zaha Doom. We want to hear from some of you other people. Tell us what movie you've seen the most, or we will be putting this on the Facebook and the Twitter things very soon as this show is published. We are also going to be email us if you want. Technorama@chuckchat.com. Okay. V-mail, email, Gmail, other kinds of... How many different flavors of mail is there now?
Mail.
I can't keep these kids straight anymore, the Facebook and the Twitter and the stuff.
Yeah, so, the Twitters.
Until next time, we appreciate you. Oh, hey, we appreciate all the people who have donated. We are working on our Patreon stuff very diligently, along with streaming and everything else. Till next time, give me a 101.
101.
You know, I've been thinking that when we put our heads together, you know, we've really gotten nowhere.